Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sci-Fi Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Hope you are enjoying the madness of March. But real fast, before we jump into it, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling, there's a lot happening in the next couple of days. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. Action Wrestling in Tyrone, Georgia. PWAS in Brownstown, Michigan. HCW in Woodburg, Tennessee. And KHCW in Paris, Texas today. Tomorrow night, Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. PPW in Bedford, Indiana. Rocky Mountain Pro in Denver, Colorado. SWE in Canton, Texas. CSW in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Primos Pro Wrestling in Denver, Colorado. DCW in Gadsden, Alabama. Metroplex in Bedford, Texas. TKW in Taylor, Michigan. NSPW in Haintsville, Alabama. RCCW in Hazel Green, Alabama. RPW in Orlando, Florida. IWE in Augusta, Georgia. 3W Wrestling in Skowhegan, Maine. CCW in Charleston, Missouri. MPW in Omaha, Nebraska. PWX in Rock Hills, South Carolina. FPW in Spencer, Wisconsin. And CWL in Waynesboro, Mississippi tomorrow. Without any further ado, though, I want to welcome our guest back to the program. It's been a while, but he is back with us. Diafolo the Butcher Dabashi, welcome back. Thanks for taking time to be here with us.
Huss! Huss! Salam alaikum, my brother. First of all, Shine Guy, I want to say we have a love-hate relationship. You know, I'm still pissed off a couple of things he did to me in the ring, but that's another story. I want to say, you know, I've been doing, you know, my podcast, and I want to say thank you for getting me wet behind my ears. You know, it was good. Like, shoot, it's been a while, probably over 5 years ago. You had me do a trial run on your platform, and then I eventually got mine. So I just want to say thank you for introducing me to the podcast world.
Our pleasure. And since you brought up Lyrical Spit, I know that you have had a few variations of your podcast. You are now doing Lyrical Spit. It seems to be going fairly well. What can you tell us about how things are going with Lyrical Spit?
Well, you know, originally, you know, I just wanted to do it on wrestling, but there's so many wrestling, you know, podcasts out there, and I wanted to do something a little different. And you know me, you know, people say I'm crazy and a lunatic in the ring, and some may even say I'm crazy and lunatic outside of the ring, and especially during the pandemic. Okay, well, I changed the word to Lyrical Spit. I actually got a trademark, Lyrical Spit, and I kind of wanted to do kind of a Casey Kasem type format, you know, talk about wrestling, talk about current events, have guests on, and play unsigned music talent. And so that's how I did Lyrical Spit. But since I had a lot of time, and it takes time, you know, to do shows like that, you know, talk to the artists and, you know, get permission to use their music. So, and I wanted to do quality shows. So in the meantime, in between those, I decided to do daily spits because, you know, the last year or two, you know, there's been so much negativity out there. I said, you know, I want to give some positive quotes each day and get some positive quotes each day. And you know, maybe throw in some music or, you know, a couple minute, you know, variety things and call it daily spit. And you know what? By doing that, spreading some peace and harmony actually calms this savage beast. So I'm not always wacko when people like you do shenanigans to me, you know, like in the ring or even in everyday life.
Understood. Now, speaking of
and you can go to
the do shenanigans
to
you in the ring, you were scheduled here a couple of months ago, but we found out you were injured. There were all sorts of rumors swirling around that old thumbs up Lance Dean may have done something to you and caused you an injury. Tell us what happened and how involved was thumbs up Lance Dean in this.
Unfortunately, it's pretty, I can't really, you know, we talked before the show. I can't get really into it too much, but I wish he had something involved and we could wrestle and make some money out of it, but I pretty much stepped in a hole and and went to fall one way and I felt my ankle about to snap and I switched my body and end up tearing the tendons in my left ankle. But yeah, so I was my own. I was my nemesis. I was my own. It was my own doing.
So, do you think that Lance Dean had something to do with having that hole in the ground? Do you think he planted the hole, knowing you would eventually find your way and step in said hole?
You know what? Anything's possible. Anything's possible. And oh, real quick, you know, I'm jumping around. LyricalSpit.com. Get all my links and all the shows and all that. And as for Lance Dean, who knows? If it comes out, maybe someone had a hidden video, and it comes out, and someone and that he dug a hole, and you know, you never know, especially in the wrestling world. And
that is very, very true. Another big thing that you have been working on in the last several months, something you announced on your social media last year in 2020, you were considering a run at the office of mayor in Tacoma, Washington. You had put out there that you would be interested. In the month since then, have you still been considering a run for public office?
Actually, yes. I could give you a quick story. A lot of people don't know. It was back in the 90s. You know, we had family grocery stores. We even had a diner, you know, and I was promoting wrestling back in the day. And what happened was I was going to college, and I told someone, we had our mayor, Tacoma mayor, it was Mayor Hyde. And I don't even remember how the conversation went. And I said, you know what, if he ever passed away, I would run for mayor. And you know what? I mean, he was overweight, you know, and I heard he was a nice guy, nothing. But I heard he died of a heart attack. I was like, whoa, is this a sign? So I went in, and they didn't hold elections, and I was pretty, you know, our name is pretty big in the Tacoma area, and you know, I was going to the clubs and stuff, and a lot of people said they would vote for me, but anyways, they were just going to appoint the mayor. So I went in, filed my paperwork, and my mom still has the newspaper article somewhere, and out of about 25 to 35 people that applied, I made the top three. And it said, family business owner, professional wrestler, promoter, Dayfla Dabashi, you know, had my name and it said that. And I made the top last, you know, the final three, but I didn't get it. So with all a lot of stuff going on and in the local scene, I know there's a lot of stuff that needs to be touched on, like, you know, human sex trafficking, the youth, the homelessness, and there's a lot of issues I want to hit. So I said, you know what? I was really considering, and I still am, and I don't know when the deadline is, but, yeah, you might be seeing me running for office.
Now, if you get into the mayorship, I'm sure you're going to be hearing from promoters all over the state of Washington on if you can clean up the Athletic Commission and restrict some of the regulations that have been hampering professional wrestling at the independent level. Has that crossed your mind as something you would definitely do if you were in the mayoralship, or is that something that you've not really considered to this point?
Well, you know my love for this sport, and that's funny you said that, because when I first ran, without going on the long rant, you already know, the Athletic Commission was really, really corrupt. I mean, I won't say his name, but I even had someone on the board say, I was like 21, I was the youngest promoter, and, you know, I had like Michelle Starr, Playboy Buddy Rose, Ed Munangmare, Cowboy Lane, I had a lot of, you know, Buddy Wayne, Johnny Graham, Kenny Roberts, you know, I had a good roster. And Sandy Barr, I never really met him, and he was my enemy. And there was when I first promoted, there was no wrestling in Tacoma in the area. It had just been dry for years and years. And then when I ran and drew a sold-out crowd the first show, you know, of course, he wanted to come down here, and then he started telling Buddy Rose, and then you wrestle for DeBosch, you can't wrestle for me. And they pretty much said, you know, hey, screw you, you're not going to tell me, you know, where we're going to run. So they pretty much had the commissioner's hands greased. And I made the magazines, and I fought them. And Buddy Rose, Moondog Moretti, Buddy Wayne even actually came to the hearing with me. Mike Rogers did. And so, yeah, I have a soft spot on the commission's cleaned up, you know. They're not corrupt like they used to be, but the policies I don't agree with. And, yes, they do need to be cleaned up. And, yeah, I would be more than happy to do whatever I can, especially in the Tacoma area, whatever I could do, you know.
Understood. Anyone that follows you on social media over the last year and a half to 2 years, they know that one of your all-time favorite television characters is Welcome Back Cotter's Juan Epstein. You're always posting about Epstein. What was it about the half Puerto Rican, half Jewish character on the Sweat Hogs from Welcome Back Cotter that drew so much interest for you?
Well, that was the wrong Epstein. And my whole thing, without getting too political, well, this is beyond political. I'm a big advocate for human sex trafficking. And everyone, you know, and majority the people believe that Epstein didn't kill us, like myself. But that being said, all this human sex trafficking is being swept under the, you know, under the table. Same with, you know, you don't hear too much about, you know, Maxwell, you know, now that she's portraying she's innocent. I mean, I had Candace Parrott on. She's one of the head on the board of the National Human Sex Trafficking. I had her on my podcast, and I'm getting ready to work with her on some stuff. To promote it. Matter of fact, you know, do you know what's the busiest day of human sex trafficking? What time of year?
I would guess probably the spring.
Nope, Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl. I don't think it happened. I don't think this year because, you know, the COVID thing, or last year, I mean. But the human sex trafficking is the most busiest time of year, believe it or not, is Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm a big advocate with that. I mean, just look at the borders now, you know. with all the people, you know, trying to, you know, ram across the borders and hordes of people, a lot of them are, you know, kids without their parents and stuff, and you know, and I don't know what the word I'm trying to say, but it's getting worse. Human sex trafficking is getting worse instead of getting better now. And so that's why I say, go back to the question, that's why I always say Epstein didn't kill himself and throw those memes, because every time or more and more I say Epstein don't kill himself and hammer that on social media, that still keeps his human sex trafficking, you know, people be aware of it. It won't let it die. So that's why I do that, to keep the awareness of human sex trafficking.
To be the winner, if there was a match that could take place through time and space, if you pitted the four original sweat hogs, Juan Epstein, Arnold Horshack, Boom Boom Washington, and Vinnie Barbarino, put them in a steel cage against the original four horsemen, Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, Ole Anderson, and Arn Anderson. Who do you think would come out victorious in that?
Of course the horsemen, but if I was booking it, I would say Horshack.
Think Horshack gets the victory for his team?
Yep.
All right.
But in the real world, it'd be the horsemen.
I could definitely see that. Now, right before things in the world itself got really crazy and travel restrictions popped up due to the pandemic and so forth, there was a promotion in Qatar called Qatar Pro Wrestling, and they were picking up a lot of steam. They were affiliated at some level with Impact Wrestling. They used a lot of Impact Wrestling talent on their shows. It looked like they were training guys from the ground up there in Qatar to fill out the cards. Can you tell us what you know about the pro wrestling scene in Qatar, which is pretty close to Yemen?
Well, tell you the truth, I know you kind of asked about it with me before, and I talked to my cousin. Tell you the truth, I really don't know too much about it. All I know that they got some good money backers. They got a lot of money going over there. I mean, especially if you're a citizen, you're well set, you know, with the, you know, oil money. But, yeah, I don't really know too much about it, tell you the truth.
Now, obviously, you travel back to Yemen from time to time to visit family and so forth. Are you going to look into the wrestling there in Qatar for when you go back so you can wrestle in that region of the country, or is it something that wouldn't necessarily interest you on one of those trips?
Well, you know, it don't really interest me. If I ever wrestle in the Middle East, I really would love to try to get something going on in Yemen. But right now, there's a genocide going there right now. I have, you know, especially in Sana'a, in the capital, you know, family has buildings there and stuff. It's kind of under control, but it's kind of like the wild, wild west right now. And then in the village in Hajjaj, you know, they're pretty much, their clans kind of police yourself. And my family there, huge, they're pretty much safe because they live like on a hill. So if you're, you know, so it's pretty, where they're at, they're pretty safe. But if heaven forbids anyone ever try to go after them, the people are going to have to fight uphill. But my dream would wrestle in Yemen in front of friends and family.
Well, you never know. I mean, Adnan LKC was able to bring pro wrestling to Iraq in front of 100,000 people with no prior wrestling at all there. Now, obviously, Qatar has opened up. Saudi Arabia pre-pandemic was getting regular shows in country by WWE. So the Middle East seems to be something of a hotbed for pro wrestling. So I don't see why there's any reason you couldn't bring pro wrestling to Yemen.
Well, like I said, safety. Like I said, there's a genocide there right now, and the media is not covering it.
I didn't mean today, but, you know, just in general.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I agree. But it would be nice.
Now, speaking of Yemen, I recently read a book called Where the Wild Coffee Grows, and in this book, it explored the history of coffee, how it was discovered, how it came to be a traded commodity, the cultivation of it. In this book, it said that the Yemenian people often claim to have discovered coffee, but the book gave a theory that traders from Yemen went into the Karaf area in what is modern-day Ethiopia, saw that coffee was being drank, and then illegally took some coffee seeds into Yemen, and they were able to figure out how to tend to the seeds and cultivate them and then get their own coffee bushes growing in Yemen. I know that you enjoy Yemeni coffee, but how in-depth do you go in researching the history and the cultivation of coffee there in Yemen?
Well, I'm trying to remember what my grandma had told me. There was a story in Ethiopia. I'm trying to remember it, so I might be a little off. A guy, one of the guys, I forgot his name, probably like in the 13th century or whatever, you know, noticed his goats was, were really energized. And come to find out, these goats were eating these red like berry type substance, like the coffee bean. So then from there, they, you know, I guess made into coffee and whatnot. And then what happened was one of the monks got a hold of it or a whiff of it and, you know, gave it to people, whatever, you know, the monks in the parish or wherever you call it. And then the word got around. The thing is, you know, there's a debate, Ethiopia or Yemen, Ethiopian and Yemen. So
I'm just trying to remember. Basically, the first cup of coffee, I would say both Yemen and Ethiopia. The first best cup of coffee is Yemen. Yemen was the first country, I was told, that they were the first ones to cultivate it. And because of the rich soil and the environment of there, it made, you know, the best coffee. And how mocha came around, the mocha is from the port over there, and that's where they were transferred back and forth. So that's how the coffee mocha was named. It has nothing to do with chocolate or anything like that. And then what the Yemen people would do too, how it got popular, you know, with being so energized and giving them energy, a lot of them would drink it so they could stay up late at night and worship.
Very, very interesting. All right.
Yeah, so you know, people, there's always an argument. I even looked into it and talked to a couple people. You know, so we're the first, when I used to work for a coffee company, worked on machines, we had to take a whole history of coffee. And they even said, when they were teaching us, that coffee originated from Yemen. But then when I talked to a lot of, you know, old school people, a lot of them said Yemen, but then some said that it was discovered in Ethiopia, but then Yemen was the first people to cultivate it and made it what it was today, and made it famous. And to this day, they have the best coffee in the world, just because the soil and what I'm saying, the best land to cultivate it in.
Well, hopefully, I will get to sample some Yemenian coffee at some point. Ethiopian coffee, not a bad coffee. Now, Ethiopia also.
I promise, Sangha, I was recently at a Yemeni wedding in Tacoma. It was kind of small because we only could have like 50 people there. But I talked to my cousin, and he's going to look some. He's pretty sure he can find some in Oakland, California, because that's a highly populated Yemen, probably the second biggest besides Dearborn, Michigan. And I told him, he's going to – so I'll get some. I'm working on it, sign guy.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, Ethiopia, for the people not familiar with global geography – is extremely close to Yemen. That's why there was the disparaging theories on coffee. Have you ever considered wrestling in Ethiopia, which is right across the water from Yemen?
What? Do what?
Have you ever considered wrestling in Ethiopia, which is right across the water there from Yemen? Fairly close.
Oh, hey. Hey, if they want to, show me the money, I'm a professional wrestler, not a voluntary wrestler. So, hey, if they want to pay me, I would love to wrestle there.
All right, so yet another country we'll have to see if we can get pro wrestling for so you can visit. At this point, we have a game on the show we like to play. You have done this game before. We call it word association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career. The first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you ready for some more word association?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Randy Zellers.
Great guy.
Casey Carlisle.
Sexy.
Kevin Sullivan.
A great friend, great mentor, and a great brain to pick.
Christopher Ryzik.
We are the longest reigning CPW tag team champions. And he has probably one of the greatest ass in the business. Inside joke.
I see what you did there. Hoff Toll.
Wrestlers of mass destruction.
Chief Attakulakula.
My best friend in the business. We'd die for each other.
Aaron Bolo.
Bruce Lee. Just because every time, great guy, and every time I think about him, I think of him about Bolo on Bruce Lee, on Enter the Dragon or Return of the Dragon, one of the two.
MJ Payne.
Say that again.
MJ Payne.
Mary Jane Payne?
Yes.
Firecracker.
Sideshow.
let me think. The sexiest smile in the business.
Davey Richards.
Pitbull.
Mike Santiago.
or did you say Mike Santiago? Heat magnet. Heat magnet.
Buddy Rose.
One of the greatest of all time.
Dick the Bruiser Jr.
Potato.
The last name, Gorgeous Michelle Starr.
Great guy, workhorse. The reason I call him a workhorse, when I promoted one time, and Tacoma, one of my first shows, he wrestled three times and he worked his ass off. Great guy.
Well, at this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by. I know QT has questions, so Thez, help you as I pass things along to him.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Fola. Yes.
Oh, do you have any pies?
Yeah, I do have some pies, yes, and they're not stale.
I'm looking for some hair pies.
Hair pies? What is a hair pie?
Bearded clams?
Is it a pie with a strategically placed hair? That's what I'm asking.
I guess. Fun guy could explain it to you.
Oh, okay. Because I'm a pretty, how would you say, nonchalant? No, that's not the word. I'm pretty ignorant about this subject of hairs and pies. I've lived a very sheltered life. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, Diafola, I'd like to extend Sangai's word association. Are you ready for an expanded round of word association?
Yes, sir.
All right. Douglas Rockefeller.
Buster Douglas.
Oh, Buster Douglas. Wow, that's very good. Okay. Very good answer. All right. Exile.
Monster.
Monster, okay. And the last one, Lila Lodge.
Toilet paper.
Okay. All right. Well, you did very well. There was no wrong, right or wrong answers. Now, Diafola, when we last interviewed you on the show, I had just been to the Washington State Track and Field Championships for high school on the Tacoma High School campus and their famous totem pole. My question is,
You're talking about
Mount Tahoma.
You're
yes.
talking about Mount Tahoma. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Did you know that Jim the Anvil Neidhart once held the California state record in the shot put?
No, but now I do. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, he got it out there near 66 feet back in 1965.
Wow.
And one of your alumni of in 1979 for Mount Tahoma High School threw the shot put 69 and a half feet. And his last name was Goldsmith. Goldsmith.
Okay. Matter of fact, my son's going to Mount Tahoma right now.
Oh, hey. That last time I talked to you, it was outside of – it was in Bremerton. And I asked how his soccer was going. Yes.
Well, he's doing Taekwondo now, and so he's been doing that, and he's going to Mount Tahoma, taking on the legacy.
Wow. All right. Now, what is his favorite subject in high school?
Oh gosh, his favorite subject. Probably right now. Well, I know he took drama last semester or last year. This semester, probably P World English or World, one of his AP classes. Probably, yeah.
Okay. Now, seeing that your son has gone out for drama in high school, have you yourself introduced him to one of the most iconic comedy movies that was made in America, Porky's?
No.
Porky's.
No, but I introduced him to 16 Candles at the drive-in, you know, last summer.
Oh, okay. 16 Candles. Okay. All right. Now, Diafola, did you yourself go out for track and field at Mount Tahoma High School? And if so, did you run the mile?
Nope, I didn't. Never did track and field.
Oh, okay. Well, it might interest you that the world record in the mile is currently 3 minutes and 43 seconds, and it is held from a man from Morocco, and his name is Hikman El Garouch.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks for letting
yes,
me know.
Three. I will send you a video of it. Well, actually, you can go on YouTube and watch his world record mile run. Hikman El Garouch.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of like your homework assignment. Okay.
I will. Now I'm going to enjoy some Moroccan food while I'm doing it.
Oh, that's very good. Now, is your favorite Moroccan food couscous?
Couscous. No. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. I've been trying to lay off the carbs, so.
I see. Do they have double cheeseburgers in Morocco? Double cheeseburgers.
They got double cheeseburgers everywhere.
Oh, all right.
They even got a McDonald's in Yemen. McDonald's in Yemen. Yeah, sure
wow.
do.
Wow, all right. How do you pronounce the name McDonald's in Yemenese?
McDonald's.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay.
Yep, McDonald's is just the name.
Well, now, Diafula, seeing that your son has gone out for the drama club in high school, is he also familiar, or did you introduce him to the culture and legacy of Welcome Back, Kotter? Have you taken him on YouTube and shown him, like, Juan Epstein clips?
Well, no, he didn't join the drama club. He just did a year of drama. And when I'm watching like MeTV, I love the old classics, you know, Archie Bunker and Jeffersons and Happy Days. He's not really too keen on those older shows, which I told him those are way better than the new shows today. I was actually upset they did a remake of Texas Walker. How can you do a Texas Walker, you know, reboot? I just don't know. I refuse to watch it.
Oh, that's not good. Who would they play the part of this reboot? I mean, who's the main character now?
I don't know, but that could be another homework for me to find out. I seen it was on last night, but I just flipped through the channel. I was catching up. I love the show Mayans. That's probably the best show on TV right now.
Oh, Mayans. Okay. Okay. All right.
Yep, on FX.
Oh, FX. Okay. Diafula, you mentioned to Sign Guy earlier about Bruce Lee and Enter the Fifth. You mentioned earlier about Bruce Lee and the movie Enter the Dragon. Did you know that Bruce Lee once turned down an X-rated movie called Enter the Fist?
Are you being serious?
Pretty serious, yes. I could be working
it,
though.
I never knew that. I'm glad he didn't do it. I wouldn't think Bruce Lee would do that. He might fist a couple girls, but.
Okay, yeah, he turned it down, yes. Okay. All right. Well, now, Diafola, you told Sign Guy earlier that you were considering a run for mayor in Tacoma. Would your campaign manager have to have Juan Epstein-like qualities? Juan Epstein-like qualities, yes.
No, no one's going to be named Epstein on my campaign party.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no. No Epstein. Well, and, you know, matter of fact, maybe, because I could keep the Epstein didn't kill himself alive to keep the sex trafficking problem alive, so they won't keep sweeping it under the rug. So maybe.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Diafola, in a seminal moment on Welcome Back, Kotter, Freddie Boom Boom Washington was certain he was going to make the NBA, so he let his studies go to waste. He made it known to Mr. Kotter that he just assumed that he should get a passing grade every time. So Mr. Kotter challenged him to a one-on-one basketball game, and he actually scored some points against Washington. So Washington agreed that he would study more and put his NBA plans on hold. My question is, did you take your studies more serious than Freddie Boom Boom Washington when you were going to college? That's my question.
Yeah, but I got a funny junior high school story if you want to hear it real quick.
Oh, yes, please do.
Okay. Since you brought up study, so when I was seventh or eighth grade, and me and this guy was such a wrestling fan. I told him I knew more wrestlers than him. So I had a notebook, and I had named like 500 professional wrestlers from around the world. And I would sit there during class and do it. In my English class, Miss Henrietta Orr, my favorite teacher in junior high, she took it from me, called my parents, and told them what I did, and then my parents grounded me from wrestling for a month, and I was having withdrawals like I was an alcoholic or something. And I was so pissed off at my teacher. And then it's funny, after that situation, you know, and I did my whole, you know, term of grounded from wrestling, I remember I went to high school and then found out she had cancer. But before I found out she had cancer, when I went to high school, she sent in the mail some peaches, those folders, and it was with Junkyard Dog, Hulk Hogan, and the Iron Sheik. I'll never forget that. And then me and her became, like, close, me and another student, Henry Young. And I remember about a month after that, we found out, you know, she had cancer. And she was the neighbor to the rock group Queensryche, one of the players. Guys in the band. But yeah, I remember that, you know, and I saw her, you know, all the way up to the day she died. But yeah, I didn't take my studies too serious in junior high school because of professional wrestling.
Wow, now that's some pretty good yarn. Yes, a story.
Yeah.
Wow. Did her ever attend any of your matches? Did she ever get to?
No, she died. Oh, I'm trying to remember when she died. I remember 2 days before she died, she had me and my friend Henry Young at the time. She, for some reason, she took a liking to us, you know. And I think I was out of high school then. I don't know if I graduated or not. And I think so. I probably was probably 18 or 19, but 2 days before she died, she had me come. She came to our house. She cooked for us, and then 2 days later, she died. So yeah, I wasn't even trained, you know. But she knew that's what I wanted to do, and she always told me to keep my dream alive. And I still have the folders, by the way, that she gave me when I was in junior high. high school.
Ooh. Well, if you could travel back in time and prevent her death, and she would, and she could somehow attend a wrestling match, or at least in the past couple years, would you have taken that opportunity to look out in the crowd, stop what you were doing in the ring, approach her, and stab her with a fork?
No, you know what? I'd probably grab the food out of her hand, eat it, and then no, I'd probably give her the fork because I respect her so much. I'd let her fork me in my head.
Oh, okay. All right. Grabbing the food out of the fan's hand, that's what Rolling Too Deep used to do, like Cadillac Callis. Rolling Too Deep.
Yep. Well,
no, okay.
I did that when I first wrestled in WCWC. Grabbed the hot dog out of someone's hand, chewed it, stuck it in his head, put it on his head.
Wow. Hey, that. See, now I myself would consider that a badge of honor. Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Except I would probably take, I would, if I were a wrestler, and I do have one comeback, one retirement match left in me, I'd probably take the hot dog and dip it in liquid nitrogen and use it as a foreign object. That's what I do.
Oh, that's a good deal. Well, did you know, shout out to Christopher Ryzik, I was working a banana in the dressing room in, I think, Carvelis, Oregon or something, in WCWC, and Jeff Manning saw that, and he had me on Christopher Ryzik Ideal Reflection on WCWC TV or whatever, during that segment. It was like a Piper's Pit segment. I wrestled a thing of hot dogs in the middle of the ring, and I won.
Wow, you wrestled a hot dog?
A bunch of them, handicap match. And that's
how do you think Sign Guy would have called this hot dog Diafula Debashi match right down the middle? Would he have called it fairly?
Oh, gosh. He might place his hot dog down the middle of the bun.
Oh, I hear that. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Well, Diafula, this morning, a rare tornado warning was issued for the Washington coast. My question is, are you
that.
A big
a
fan
of
the hurricane?
Them.
Oh, yes. A couple. I think near Hoquiam.
Oh, yeah,
and Aberdeen.
I was a big fan of the hurricane and still am.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, the hurricane and tornadoes kind of go hand in hand. Yes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Were you a big fan when he hid in the locker and The Rock came into the dressing room and he opened up the locker and saw the hurricane in there and he closed up the locker and then he just got this look on his face? Did I just see what I saw? Were you a big fan of that moment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Diafula, were you a big fan of Todd Rundgren and the rock group Nas and their hit song, Hello, It's Me?
I don't know if I ever heard it.
Oh, okay. Well, you have another homework assignment. Go on YouTube and listen to their song, Hello, It's Me. It was featured in the sitcom That 70s Show on one of the last episodes. Hello, It's Me.
Okay.
Todd Rundgren.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll check it out.
I only point that out because I know you're a huge fan of the 70s Show, and especially Red Foreman. Red Foreman, the father.
How do you know that?
Because one of your favorite lines was, I'm about to stick my boot up your ass.
Okay.
Like when his son, Eric Foreman, would be kind of wise to him, he goes, hey, I'm reading a book. It's called In the Road to Having a Boot Up Your Ass. Oh, I mean, On the Road. Yes. That's what he said at the dinner table.
Okay. But mine would be pointed.
It would be who?
My boot would be pointed, though.
Oh, wow. Yes. Right. With the curled toes. Ooh, boy.
I want to give a big shout out to Chef. I got another good story. So after my divorce, my shoes I had, my patented red and black, or my black and red pointed shoe, they were made in Puerto Rico. Same guy that makes a lot of the like Canes and all those guys, Abdullahs. And so, of course, you know, I got full custody of my son. That's the main thing. But I got none of my wrestling gear or nothing back. So it's been since 2011, 2010, right? And I thought I would never, ever ever see my boots again. So about a couple months ago, I get a text from Chef, you know, Mean Mark Ferguson. He texts me and he goes, does these boots look familiar? And I was like, and you know, those boots were like $500, you know. I said, is there a little rip in the seam on the left boot? Yeah. And then he found one of my Yemeni knives I wore. And I was like, what the hell? And he came across it. It was at a buddy of him had a storage thing and called him up. You know, I guess Chef sells a lot of stuff on eBay and stuff. You know, he goes to like auctions and all that. And he came across, what's the chance of him finding my boots, you know? And after all these years, like, what, 10, 11, what, you know, 10, you know, 12 years later, and he reunited me with my boots. I want to say thank you, Chef. And then I took them to a boot place, and they polished them up and almost got them like new.
Wow. Hey, now did they replace the insoles in them, the insoles? Because sometimes if boots just sit for years, they can have a little bit of mold on the insoles. Mold.
You know, no, they didn't. But the guy did such a good thing, and he repaired the rip in it. The boots look almost brand new, but I'll probably get that replaced. I'm thinking about getting the soles replaced. But, yeah, I had those boots, yeah. Yeah, yep. After Abdullah the Butcher, you know, grandfathered his name to me, I decided to get some new boots, you know, and all that. And yep, but I got them. They're hanging on my wall.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hope someday that maybe when you're mayor of Tacoma, I could go into business with you someday and make a hybrid wrestling boot and track shoe. I think it'd go over a bit pretty big.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Plan to me.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Good luck with your homework assignment in looking up Hikman El Garouche, mile record holder. You'll be astounded by his mile run record.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. And while you're at it, you might look up Hello, It's Me by Todd Rundgren. Yes.
I will. I'm making a note of it right now.
Oh, very good. Okay. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well,
Sun Guy,
we are near the end of the program today, so I want to give you ample time if there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you want, social medias, merchandise, the podcast, any upcoming grudge match against Lance Dean, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, when we did the word association, I said toilet paper for Layla Lodge. And the reason I said that, I didn't say,
didn't mean that she was the shits or anything like that. I said it because that whole incident, remember when Dash threw the toilet paper into the ring?
I remember, yes.
What's that?
I remember that, yeah.
You remember that? Oh, okay, yeah, that first thing came to my mind. But, yes, as soon as I'm healed up, me and Chief, you know, we're looking to get some more tag team gold in a few places, making another run. Puerto Rico, El Baby, El Gran Baby. You know, I got some stuff I got to be finishing up with you soon. Matter of fact, I'm going to my podcast, Lyrical Spit, and I do one every day called Daily Spit. It keeps me sane from going crazy, but I try to, you know, say positive stuff and inspiring quotes for people. I'm going to have actually another conspiracy show starting up with Kenny Roberts. And I'm going to have, matter of fact, something you don't know, I'm getting ready to go back to school. I'm going to get my, and this is not a joke, I'm going to get my master's in hypnosis. I'm going to have one of the greatest hypnosis guys around. He's a professor. He's teaching it right now too, Ray Zakowski. And yeah, so looks like in the spring, while my foot's healing up, I'm going to be going back to college and get my master's in hypnosis. And because eventually I want to get into public speaking and I want to help people, you know, to lose weight and stop smoking and not be in this, you know, power in hypnosis, power in words. So that's one of my projects I'm working on. If I could incorporate with wrestling, great. But what else I got to say? LyricalSpit.com, ButcherSpit.com for my merchandise. Shoot, what else, sign guy? Oh, another thing, too. I want to give a shout-out to my girl, Deborah Boston. One of my good friends, Pretty Boy Floyd Sturr, professional wrestler. He wrestled in WCW back in the day, too. His sister heard my podcast, and she reached out to me, and she used to tour with B.B. King. She is the next best thing. So I'm in the works. We've been working with each other, and I'm trying to get her signed to a record deal. So I'm kind of getting in the music aspect and managing and stuff. Her name is the Billion Dollar Showgirl, Deborah Boston. Like I said, she played on tour with B.B. King. She's actually the real protege. She's the protege of B.B. King. She's like the modern, she's the female version of Harry Styles and Lenny Kravitz, and she's the modern-day Tina Turner. Look her up, the Billion Dollar Showgirl, Deborah Boston, on Spotify and on SoundCloud.
All right, well, I will definitely have to look her up, and I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Hopefully you will heal up, and I look forward to finding out what that surveillance footage of that hole reveals. Good thumbs up, Weinstein, put that hole in the ground knowing you would trip on it.
I'll tell you right now, because I'm the face of the Middle East, the Yemeni maniac, the modern-day sheik, and a real American, Saifullah Butcher Dabashi. Let me tell you something. If I find out anyone snuck their neck out and dug the hole to stick my foot in it to do what I did, damage to my ankle, all hell's going to break loose. Let me tell you something, brother. I'm telling you right now that I don't care if it's Coach Mike Jones, if it's Dean, or anybody. If I find out before I'm healed, my brother Chief Atakula Kula, my world power brother, is going to raise havoc on them. And I'm telling you, I'm not playing, because let me tell you why. Hashtag save our children. Hashtag don't be a Pelosi.
and hashtag, well, forget the hashtag, because Epstein did not kill himself. I got to do another episode of Daily Spit because I'm starting to go crazy, fine guy. And I remember what you did with that, feeding me that pork. What's wrong with you? I had the shits for a week because of that. That's why I took the bottle and scraped your head. I'm getting flashbacks.
I thought maybe you were a fan of it. I didn't know.
Either way, sign guy, I love you, brother.
All right. Well, I hope you heal up. And if that footage shows a thumbs up, Lance Dean did put that hole there, I hope you take his thumb and you stick it somewhere very painful for him.
Well, if I found out you dug the hole, sign guy, I'm going to take his thumb and shove it right up where the sun don't shine.
I hear it doesn't shine in Lance Dean's ear.
Well, I'm talking about you, the crack that God gave you.
Wow. Well, you know, I didn't dig the hole, but there were theories out there that it was a certain individual with a penchant for raising up his thumb. But
what?
Thank you for being on the show again today. We appreciate it. And best of luck as you heal up.
Why didn't Lance Dean come on the show?
I don't know. I don't know. He's probably in hiding.
All right, brother.
If he's out fishing at a pond near you, tell him that the boss is on his trail, but it'll be a little slow because he's got to heal his ankle first.
And one last thing. I'm looking for my Habibi's, my camel Habibi. She's missing. I'm going to go out looking for her. And if I find out Dean has my camel too, someone's going to have a camel toe.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully it won't come to that. I sense a camel rope match coming soon.
Okay. I'm sharpening it.
All right. Well, fans, once things get up and running and he's back on tour, go buy yourself a ticket to see Die Full of Debashi. Make sure you listen to his podcast, buy his T-shirts, coffee mugs. Hopefully he'll bring wrestling to the Middle East area of Yemen and possibly Ethiopia. And hopefully he'll find some Yemeni coffee that he can sell to the masses at gimmick tables everywhere. But we'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. This coming Sunday we have a wrestler out of the great state of Mississippi named War King. We're looking forward to having him. A week from today, Princess Victoria, the Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame member, along with her author for her autobiography, John Cosper, will be with us. Make sure you're here to find out all about Princess Victoria's brand new books, not even on the shelves yet. We'll get the scoop here. Go search out Debashi on the YouTubes. There's lots on there. And we'll talk to you soon.